love that thumb tapper. Woo! Good day, everyone. Good day, good day. Welcome to Connect with Kelly. This is where we connect, we collaborate, and we create together. And as I always say, if it's change we seek, let's be the change. Surprise, surprise, I'm Kelly, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. And thank you, BBS Radio. You guys are phenomenal. Thank you, thank you. Thank you for all your subscriptions and donations. Just so you know, each and every one of them lights me up, and they tell me that you want more of what I bring to the show. So I'm so grateful for all of you. And all of you listening now and in the future, thank you for joining me today, everyone. So per usual, as I have been sharing some lyrics from what I'm calling breadcrumb bands or artists. These are artists that have been leaving breadcrumbs for decades. Some are with us still, some are not. And this one today is Michael Jackson, and his song "Heal the World" just is so apropos for today. So here's some of the lyrics, just quickly. There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And this place could be much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you'll feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place, heal the world, make it a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you and for me. And I feel those lyrics they could not be more fitting than they are for my guest today. He is just the epitome. He's the perfect example of love in action for the human race and making our world a better place. I'm just thrilled to have Dr. Neil Benson as my guest today. And he describes himself as a truth seeker with a strong social conscience, who he believes in working hard and creating beauty wherever he goes. And his hope is to make the world a more understandable and healthier place. And I felt a really strong connection, and a really strong desire to connect and chat with Dr. Neil. When I first heard him, he was on Project Review with Q on August 5th, 2023. So we're coming up on a couple of years now, if we're gonna talk about time. But I really resonate with his journey of self-healing and with his passion for helping others thrive and feel good, because that's been my jam personally and professionally for many years now. And as a self-healer and a lifelong student of well-being, I've been really fortunate to be associated with some brilliant, brilliant cohorts and practitioners who echo what Dr. Neil presents to us. And it just brings me so much joy to give you all an opportunity to feel this man's heart as he shares what he desires for the future of humanity, really. And I feel strongly that if we all embrace and practice his paradigm shifting wellness and healing model, we could revolutionize this dreaded sick care. This is what I call it, the sick care system we have now. We could revolutionize it, lickety split. And I said it before, there's a reason Asha calls Dr. Neil a great healing warrior for the people. So with that, Dr. Neil, are you with me?
Good day. I very much am. Thank you for the lovely introduction. That's very kind of you.
Oh,
As people may or may not know, I live in Australia, in Western Australia. So I'm down under, and it's nighttime here, and I understand it's morning with you. So good morning to you.
good morning, good evening, good day, good day. How do you say good evening? I'm not sure anyway.
No, it's just good day. Good day all
Good
day.
day. It's always just good day, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, so thank you for being with me today. For it's just a delight to share your time and space with you. So, and just so you all know, time permitting, we'll take some calls. So, as inspired, please call in at 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. All right. So, Dr. Neil, you're retired after practicing medicine for 30 some odd years, and I know you have a really strong science background, and you've had a, I guess, I think you've deemed it a multidisciplinary approach to your practice. So would you just share a little bit, tell us a little bit about yourself and your approach for making the world a healthier place?
Sure. I'm quite lucky in that my background was quite diverse. I have a botany degree first, and then I did a degree in agriculture and did a year of a PhD program, and then went into medicine. So it covers quite a wide range of science, if you want. So a bit of a science freak as far as that goes. But the approach that I took came about through personal health trials and problems. I had health issues myself all my life. From a very small boy, I nearly expired on the kitchen table with asthma when I was about just in the later, well, say 9 months of age. And had health issues, number of surgeries on my sinuses. And ultimately, I wanted to find out why these problems were occurring because medicine was terrific at treating the symptoms, but it never addressed the cause. So I went on a search for why do allergies occur? And I was very lucky to be helped by Source and others, no doubt, that I ultimately did discover it, and I was able to share it with my patients and develop an approach that worked for getting people to be able to reverse their own problems. And it reversed it in my situation. I'm infinitely healthier than I was when I was younger. And it's been a joy for me to be able to help other people. And now I really want to take it to the next phase. Having written down how it works in a book that I wrote called On the Origin of Diseases, I would like to do a training program so that other people could learn how to do this, so that we can get an army of people who are interested in improving other people's health. And we can go forward that way and change the world.
Amen. Yes. I vote yes on that. I second that emotion. Yes,
Good.
I have read your book. It's brilliant, masterfully written. And people may not be aware of this, but you experienced some, let's call them publisher shenanigans. Go figure that they don't want this information coming out, right? So much so that they blocked you from receiving royalties from your book. And the reason why I'm saying that, he's so passionate about the information he's offering in it that he's offering it for free. And he considers it his small contribution to the world. So I provided a link to the book in the program handout section of my program page at bbsradio.com/connectwithkelly. So it's a brilliant book. So thank you so much for, I guess I could say, your journey through dis-ease to bringing your just beautifulness and your experience and knowledge to all of us. It's, we go through things sometimes to be able to do that, and I'm just so honored to be with you today and have you share your walk. So it contains a plethora of medical knowledge that, like you said, it improved your own personal health and countless others. So you've done it with a lot of your patients. And I feel like, after reading the book and just we've had conversation, and I feel your passion is and has been, like you said, to help folks overcome not only the, suboptimal health issues, but to prevent chronic conditions such as, like you say,
Absolutely.
allergies and autoimmune diseases. So you did it yourself. So that's the purpose for writing your book. I guess my question to you is, some people may not resonate with the term disease, and they may have, I don't know, the occasional sniffle or a bacterial infection or, just maybe a run-of-the-mill sickness, but they might pass on reading your book because they don't think they have a disease. So what would you say to them?
Well, that's an interesting take. I haven't run into that before. I gave it the title because I looked at what was the most famous book that I could think of in the last century, and it was Charles Darwin on the Origin of the Species. So I thought, what I'll do is I'll piggyback off of that and make it on
That's
the
awesome.
Origin of Diseases. Nobody else had chosen that name, so there you go, I got it.
That's great. So just for the people that aren't, I don't think I suffer from allergies. I don't think I suffer from autoimmune. I don't feel that. What would you say to that?
Well, I can understand that, and people don't want to suffer from these things either. And what they may have noticed was that they had, the wind after they've eaten certain foods, or at certain times their nose gets blocked, or they have an itchy rash that they're not quite sure where it comes from, or headaches, or achy joints, achy muscles. They suffer from depression or anxiety, all sorts of things. I've had many, many psychologists that have come and seen me over the years because they were complaining of anxiety themselves and they weren't able to sort that out. By getting rid of the allergies, it immediately cured it. And many things that people have that bother them, they have no idea that the origin is actually an allergic basis to it because it allergies can affect all organs of the body. So you've got the asthma, eczema, you name it. It is huge. And I have had many friends that have told me they don't have any allergies, but they do have this problem. So we end up sorting it out for them by looking at it from an allergic point of view, and they find it beneficial. And they're quite shocked to find out they had an allergy they didn't know about. So I think dis-ease is probably not a bad term in the book. I'm going to keep it.
Yeah, I think we've gotten really used to it as a species, as a society, as humans, to just think that not being fully feeling good is normal. Like we're so used, I'm just speaking as a general whole. We just feel, yeah, we have this occasional this, that, or the other thing, and it's just part of being human. And I think of it completely different is we can feel good and thrive. And once you feel that, it's game changer. It's just an amazing shift. And that's what you're helping us to realize is the dis-ease that we feel is not normal. That's not how we're designed. And you kind of break down your there, I guess you would say there's three variables to chronic disease,
Yes.
diet, and you're saying allergies. So diet, allergies, and pathogens. Do you want to say more about that?
Yes, no, that's absolutely correct. The book, I'm just going to explain the book a little bit to people. The
Please do.
book is written for the interested public all the way through to professors of medicine. So there's some aspects in the book that you might not on your first reading get it all. You might have to do a little bit of reading around it. But don't let that put you off. I've had many patients that at the end of it knew the book as well as I did. And I have been told that it's quite easy to read. So give it a go and have a look at it. And you'll notice that it's actually written kind of as a textbook. And the last part of the book explains to people how those three parts, how diet, the allergies, and getting rid of the gut pathogens improve your health. And part of what I want to do when we have a training program for people is that every person that wants to do the training program is going to have to go through and sort out their own issues. And they will be able to see the effect of just diet alone. They'll be able to see the effect of changing their diet and getting rid of the allergies. And then thirdly, they'll see the effect of getting rid of any gut pathogens that they have. And by taking each one of those as a step towards their health, they're able to see how the pattern is for them, how the mosaic goes together for them, because everybody's different. And we develop allergies through time. So you may have had an allergy that was affecting one organ at one part of your life, such as a baby that is born with eczema. And then that eczema disappears, and you end up with a child with asthma. And then that changes, and you end up with somebody who has chronic sinus problems. And then later on, they may have fatigue issues. And it just continues to spiral. And it's really lovely if you can get people early on and prevent them getting worse and being able to roll it back. Obviously, the further along people are on that disease progression, the more difficult it is. So getting people early and preventing is even better. That's certainly the way to go.
Oh, that's amazing. And I love the well, first of all, I will echo the easy to read part. It was just a breeze to read it, and it's written in layman's terms, so anybody can read it, from the scientist to the regular Joe Schmo like me. So good on you for that. And when you're talking about training people, you're not just talking about doctors or scientists, right?
No, absolutely not. In fact, I think if somebody is a medical doctor, it probably counts as a point against
Gotta
them. Only because
unlearn some things.
they're too brainwashed. And my experience with doctors, unfortunately, is I've only ever had two of them that were interested in what I did. And the first one didn't listen to me enough and thought, wow, he could see these changes occurring in my patients. So he was going to run around and prove what a great guy he was all on his own and ignore anything he'd learned from me. And sadly, he wasn't smart enough to realize his own limitations and that he should have listened a little bit longer. So the arrogance of some doctors is unfortunately quite profound. And the other one, who I trained up, he's got my book and he followed it through, and but he should have actually taken the books and told the patients where he got it from, and recommended that they get a copy of the book because it lays out and sorts out a lot of questions that people have, and it saves the doctor having to explain a lot of things. So I made sure that all of my patients had access to a book, whether they were borrowing it from a friend or whatever, or buying a copy of it. And that was really the way to go, because the book is a good reference and has some explanations for complicated concepts.
And illustrations too. I found that really, really cool. So thank you for that.
Good.
So let's talk a little bit about the gut, which has been termed the second brain. That's another topic, but you say that's where 80% of immune function is directed, and a healthy microbiome promotes beneficial bacteria, which we all have benefit. We have bacteria, but hopefully it's beneficial. And beneficial bacteria is for disease prevention and reversal. But conversely, you say, and you've termed it the abnormal bowel cascade. The abnormal bowel cascade is responsible for most of the rise in allergies and the autoimmune diseases. So can you explain a little bit about what abnormal bowel cascade is and why that would be important for us to know?
Sure. Our body has a variety of defense mechanisms. Some of them are physical, like our skin, and the lining of the gut has got things like peristalsis, which is a way of moving food along and moving bugs along. So it goes in at the mouth and ends at the anus, and in the process, things move through. We've also got mucus, and then you've got a variety of cells in your body that give a normal defense without it being stimulated in what we call an acquired immune response or an immune response. So you've got a normal defense mechanism just with cells that are there that will kill things that they come in contact with. And then when that fails, your body uses a immune response, which is specific to the pathogen or the disease or the organism that is trying to invade your body. And I don't want to make it too complicated. I think lays it out in the book a bit better, in that the final defense mechanism that the body has for chronic infections, so long-term chronic infections, is it uses a mechanism called IgE. Now, it's been well recognized for many, probably a century or close to a century, at least 60 years, that IgE and was associated with both allergic disorders and parasitic infections. But what they didn't realize was that in order for you to develop allergies, you had to have a chronic parasitic infection. And that means that if you're going to make people healthy, you have to get rid of the parasitic infection first. And that has to be addressed. If you just leave it, the process of allergies will continue because you've got the body being invaded. Let's say you've got a worm in your gut. That as that worm invades the body doesn't like it because it damages the gut lining and wastes our immune energy in trying to keep it down, and it has a negative effect on us from the nutritional point of view and many other things. So our body doesn't want it. So we produce the normal response against it, which everybody has. When that fails, it goes to the immune system, which is antibodies production. You've probably all heard of that in the past. And then the final one, as a barrier, when those two get overwhelmed, involves the production of IgE, which is immune globulin E, which is one of the three main types of antibodies that the body has. And that's the one with the parasitic infections. So when these things evade the first couple of layers of defenses, then you end up with the final defense, which is the IgE, which acts as an alarm bell. And when your body sets off that alarm bell, it tells all the other cells that are the defense mechanisms to come to that area. And that's actually why we have allergies. The body then samples all of the proteins and things that are in that area. And if you've got a chronic infection sitting there and the body is then sampling the proteins, if it's in the nose, for instance, you will be sampling things like house dust mite and grass, and you may end up developing a house dust mite allergy or a grass allergy, which will then be spread throughout your body, so you can pick it up on skin testing or a blood test. Likewise, if you have a problem in the gut, you can be sampling the proteins of food in your gut, and you can develop a food allergy. So, unfortunately, if you don't get rid of the parasitic infection, you're not going to make somebody well. You will get some improvements, but you won't cure them.
Right. So, how a percentage? I know this is not rocket science, but just percentage-wise, I think you said about 60% of us have some sort of chronic infection, or I don't. You know, I could say candida, but is that correct? Like, we're all kind of walking around with some pathogen of some sort that's messing with us.
Not everybody is, but most people in the modern world are, because in the past, some people ate a better diet, and certainly it had more nutrition in it and was less processed than most people eat today. And nutrition's very important for getting your immune system to work well. So when you let down your food production and don't eat as healthy a food, in that the foods contain less nutrition, that in itself is going to reduce your immunity and make it easier for things to invade your body. Then, as far as the gut goes, you have the gut flora in the large intestine, which provides quite a number of protective compounds and keeps things out of the gut that we don't want there. And if you take antibiotics, especially the broad spectrum types, you unfortunately wipe that out, and things that are resistant to those antibiotics then have an opportunity to overgrow. And we find things like candida have become a really big issue in society because of the excessive use of antibiotics. And candida is a huge issue. And it can be just a minor nuisance to it being a major problem. I personally suffered from it, and I wasn't taught much about it in medical school, and I had to learn that myself. The knowledge is certainly out there. And I welcome all of you to have a look at the book, at the symptoms that are there. The sweet tooth is can often be quite a good indicator, as the having of other fungal infections, whether it be dandruff, athlete's foot, ringworm. Many different infections are indicating to you that you've got an impaired fungal immunity, and almost certainly you'll have candida, or Candida albicans, as a factor that is holding your health back. So it'd be wise to get rid of that.
Yeah, and your book does go into treatment of that. So that's a another wormhole there, but no pun intended. But so as a child, I grew up with seasonal allergies and was miserable, like miserable. And it was about, I would say, 15 years ago, I was with some very healthy people and working with them, and they introduced me to the notion of gluten. So that kind of took me down a whole new road, and also dairy. And so for 10, 15 years now, I've been gluten-free and dairy-free, and my seasonal allergies disappeared. So
Good for you. Well done.
I can really attest to, diet. Did you want to say something more about that? I go ahead.
No, I just was, commending you for looking into it and sorting that out for yourself. We can do a
Oh,
lot of these things ourselves. You're right. And that's what
yes.
you have to do. But you need to have knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, then how can you do it? So that's hopefully what you can get from the book. Sometimes it requires having a bit more knowledge, and that's really what a practitioner can help you out with. That's what I'd like to do, is get more people out there that have a real understanding of what's going on, so that they're not wasting your time and your money and can get a good result quickly rather than string you along. Because the alternative health system with all the vitamins is just as bad as the mainstream allopathic. I hate to say that. Both of them are interested in making profits, and many times they both lead people along, not necessarily in a good way. So I'd like to, I never sold any vitamins to people. I never sold anything. The only thing I sold was my book. The temptation was certainly there to do it because you can make lots of money from that. But you don't need to, and I don't think that you should. You need to have that distance from it. You're going to find that you will be less seduced by the financial incentive if you take that more pure approach.
Right. I agree with that wholeheartedly. I don't, I'm at the point where I don't have any supplements. I decided, and it's been said that they just create expensive urine. There may be some people that do get some benefit. I'm not discouraging anybody, but I just know that, yeah, there's a lot of crap on the market, and there is some good. There's some nutraceuticals out there that are worthwhile if need be. But yeah, your book goes into what you're calling the healthy plate diet, and you present it in a way that it's able to heal and or help our beneficial gut flora thrive. And again, it goes to me, it goes back to, sure, you can spend a lot of money on supplements, but why not, spend more if you want to buy good food or grow your own food, which is even better. Spend money on that side as opposed to, something in a bottle. But can you explain your healthy plate diet a little bit and how that
Sure.
helps?
Yeah. In if you look at your normal food that you eat, it basically breaks down to three sort of groups. You've got carbohydrates, you've got proteins, and green vegetables or colored vegetables. Now, the green vegetables have two types of fiber in it, soluble fiber and insoluble fiber. Insoluble fiber is things like bran, and what it does is it gives your bowel something to push against. So it tends to give you a firmer, bigger poo. But soluble fiber is a type that the body can use, or not the body, but the bacteria living in your gut can use as a food source. So it's very important to eat your green vegetables so that you're feeding the beneficial bacteria that live in your gut, because they produce vitamins for you, they produce natural antibiotics that float around you and keep you healthy, and they keep other things out of your gut that you don't want living there. So try and make half of your main meal of the day. You can make all your meals this way, but certainly your main meal of the day should be half green vegetables. And you can have up to one quarter as carbohydrate. I recommend less than that, but up to a quarter. And have another quarter being protein of some sort. And it's very easy. So half your plate is greens, up to a quarter is carbohydrate, and the other quarter is protein. And you can have more greens, you can have more color vegetables, but try not to have too many carbohydrates. That's really the basic rules behind it. And it cuts it and makes it quite easy.
What would you give some examples of carbohydrates?
Sure. Bread, rice, pasta, potato, all these things break down to sugars. And we don't really need too much sugar, white sugar. So don't eat too much of that. A lot of that too. I mentioned how candida gives you a sweet tooth. Well, the carbohydrate cravings a lot of people have is really the same thing, because the carbohydrates break down to sugar. So one of the things that we have to do to get rid of things like candida is improve the diet and eat less carbohydrates because it makes it much much easier to get rid of it than if you don't take a dietary approach to it. Diet is crucial at the end of the day to get people healthier. You can't rely on a pill. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, well, our body is designed to do exactly what it needs to do. It's brilliant. So, could you give some examples of good carbohydrates that people could focus on?
Sure. I don't think there's such a thing as a bad one. It's only bad for you if you have developed an allergy to it. See how you react to them. I mean, the Chinese have and Japanese have eaten tons of rice, and they did really well. People that have eaten that diet from a Western point of view do well on it. So I don't think rice is a bad food. Likewise, people that eat potatoes, as long as they're not allergic to it, they do very fine on that too. And wheat products, it's the same thing. So I don't think there's such a thing as a bad food. It's just whether you have problems with it or not. And the longer you've had allergies and the less care that you've taken with your diet, the more likely you are to develop more allergies, unfortunately.
Right, and you also go into elimination, to just see if something's bothering you or if something's creating a reaction. And do you want to touch on that a little bit?
No, there's been lots of great people ahead of, in the past that have written on this area. And, thank them for having written books that I was able to get a hold of and look at. And they have talked about this phenomenon that if you avoid something and you don't eat it for a few days, your body increases because it's not burning through the antibodies. It increases the antibodies. And then, if you reintroduce it, say 5 days later, you'll get a bigger reaction than you normally would have if you'd been eating it every day. So, by doing that avoidance and rechallenge with the food, you're often able to pick up how it affects you. And you have to be quite observant. I've had patients that notice that their mood changes. Some people can't get to sleep at night with that. Other people will get burning in their urine. It can affect your body in many ways. So you have to be quite observant and not think that everything is going to be a skin reaction or whatever is bothering you, because it can affect you in so many different ways. And that's the benefit of doing some of the blood tests, because you can get rid of you can make it easier for people to sort through the problem. Because if you have a lot of allergies, it can make it quite difficult to find a diet that you're going to be relatively symptom-free on. But if you go back to really basics and go to foods that you haven't normally eaten, then you're probably not going to be allergic to those things. But there'll be unusual things like eating deer meat, or or you could come and get some kangaroo from Australia and try something that you haven't eaten. If it's a regular food that you've eaten, there's a good chance that you're allergic to it. I discovered that with myself being allergic to beef. I had no idea I was allergic to beef, but it wasn't until I got rid of the beef from my diet that my health began to improve. So it can be a bit tricky.
Right, and that goes back to, that there's that comfort zone that people create that they don't know they're in disease because it's just kind of their normal life. So maybe if
Absolutely.
there's an if there's an inkling like, maybe this is something, I guess we encourage you to try the elimination reintroduction process and see if you might have an inkling of what the food is that's causing it. But there's people that so many chronic things that are just considered normal now. It's just a personal process. I totally agree. So you're, I was thinking about the smoothie movement. That's not a plate. It's a glass, or you know. How do you feel about smoothies and what goes into smoothies? Are they beneficial? Or sometimes I think the sugar content can get pretty high with some of the fruits.
Yeah, you're right. I'm not a huge fan of all of that. I think people should eat normal foods, but if they want to put the normal foods in a drink and have a smoothie that's got the healthy plate diet on it, great, go for it. Doesn't matter. Your body doesn't care how it gets it. You can have it as a smoothie if you want, or you can eat it. It makes no difference. If you're going to have a high sugar type diet and basically eat a lot of fruit, I didn't mention that, but the other carbohydrates is fruit. And if you're going to eat a lot of the fruit, it's not good for you either. As a general rule, people should eat 2 bits of fruit per day, the size of the person's fist. So if it's a child, it's the child's fist. If it's an adult, it's the adult's fist. Don't eat too much fruit. It's good for you, but too much of anything is not the way to go.
Right. And also I've come to know that berries are really beneficial. Some, you know, you can eat an apple or an orange or a banana, but the berries really are packed full of good stuff.
Yeah, very much so. There are certainly better choices and worse choices, absolutely.
Yeah, just for me it's just eating as whole and natural, raw, you know, as possible, unprocessed, you know, stay out of the middle of the store, and just
Quite right.
do the exterior, you know, the roundabout. Yeah, that's kind of what I've done for many, many years, and I feel good. So,
Yeah,
but
isn't it? I quite enjoy going to the grocery store and looking at people and looking at their carts.
yeah,
And
I do too.
it
It's kind of a fun game.
is. And you can see a really healthy person, and you're not surprised that they're eating or making healthy choices at the grocery store. So
Yeah,
it's interesting.
it is. It's a fun study.
Yeah.
So I want to just briefly touch back on your new medicine model. You know, you said you really want to focus on the root cause. So a root cause analysis versus treating symptoms, and then, you know, like holistic remedies versus the dreaded pharmaceutical, the synthetic toxic chemical soups that everybody's taking. I love how you said hospitals are a monument to poor health, which is that is so
Yeah,
good.
they
So
are, aren't they?
they really are. How do you envision this new medicine model rolling out?
Well, we need to get people trained to be able to do it effectively. And obviously, in a training course, they'll have to show some competence at what they do. And there, I guess, would be reviews on an annual or semi-annual basis to make sure that they were performing it correctly still, if they want to be certified by the program. I don't want it to be an onerous thing. I think most people want to do the right thing, and when they experience the benefits of helping people, I think that most people will thrive in that environment. So I don't want it to be onerous, but it does need to have some sort of standards associated with it. Is that what you meant?
Yeah, well, I see it as a project for you, and you know, I believe that's why you were on project review with Q. So I know it's kind of in the infancy stage for you, in the you know, it's just something that's important to you, a passion for you. So I'm just kind of trying to flesh out a little bit how people could there's probably people out there right now that would love to go, hey, sign me up, or how do I get involved, or how can I get a hold of you? And I know that's, you know, I'm not pushing that on you, but I just that's more of it is if we want to, you know, if it's change we seek, let's be the change. How do we get that ball rolling?
Yeah, well, everything in the present world takes money, unfortunately.
Ah,
And
yes.
To have a training program, you have to have a facility and you have to have places that people can come to where they can stay. And I really think the process is going to be a number of weeks as a sort of an in-house thing so that people can go through the initial process of identifying their own health issues. So we've got blood tests and change of diet, looking at their own allergies, doing avoidance and rechallenging, and discussing their results with other people so that everybody learns from the experience of each other. And I think it could be really quite a joyous, fun place to be. And that's what I would like to see, but it does take money. So if there's somebody out there that would love to, or who has done well in life and doesn't have any grandchildren or children, who wants to leave their money to
Okay.
a noble cause, let Kelly know, and maybe she'll send it my way.
Yes, absolutely. And it doesn't have to be a, it could be just somebody with a lot of resources that wants to share the resources. And that's what this program's been about. Let's, if you have resources to share, let's share, because it will come back to you, a hundredfold. So I guess that's kind of it in a nutshell. You have the project, you have it well thought out and well formed, and it's just a mess. I call it the project tarmac. You're on the project tarmac and you're ready to go, but there's just a few things you need and want before you take off. So this is a great place for you to, and you have stated what it is and what you want and need. So good on you. Go, Neil. Great job. So I encourage anybody who's, even excited about just learning more, or, you may not think you're a scientist or a doctor or somebody that's worthy of being a part of the program. It takes everybody. This new medicine model is going to take everybody. Who do you think runs the hospitals? It's not the people up in the ivory towers. It's people on the ground. So I encourage everybody to get involved, and I will be I will gladly be the conduit for connection for you. So bring it on, bring it on.
Wonderful. Thank you. Yeah, it's great to have you on board as part of the project. Thank you very much. I think that's wonderful. We'll build an army that'll change medicine. So have a read of the book. You've got a free book. So have a read of it if it resonates with you. Keep in mind that we're going to bring something to the fore at some point. The more we have people that come on board that can help out with a facility or money or whatever that is useful, the more we can, or the sooner we can get this going. It's certainly something that I have put a lot of thought into and have been trying to figure out how to do it for many, many years. And I think we achieved at least the textbook in the book that's there. There's things I need to add to it now, things like ivermectin and some of the other incredibly useful products. NanoSoma, I'll put that out there too. That is a great product. I don't know how it works, but it's an interesting product. I had a lesion on my hand, which I've had for many, many years, since I was about, oh, I don't know, in my late teens. And I've tried all sorts of things on it, and nothing worked except NanoSoma over the last year. It's almost gone now. So thank you, Q, for recommending that.
I'm a big proponent of it too. I actually have a link at the bottom of my program page because I feel very, very strongly about it. And this is just a secret between you and me that I'm having Dr. Richard Presser on in July from NanoSoma. So he's going to be able to really go into the nuts and bolts and science, in a
Cool.
way that we can understand that, how and why it works. and why everybody should be taking it. But that's another topic. So I know we're getting close to needing to wrap up. This hour goes so fast when you're having fun, and I'm just so
It
grateful.
does, doesn't it?
Is there anything you want to say, touch on that we missed? Is something you want to share before we go?
No, there's so many things we could talk about. I want to make this comment that if you get rid of the allergies and autoimmune diseases using this approach, you're going to knock out 70% of the GP visits. Did you hear that, governments? Think of the money you'll save. But
Absolutely. Yep. Hence the reason why they were kind of pulling the shenanigans on your book.
well, yeah, it's there's been a lot of barriers, but we've overcome them all. I had the Medical Council of New Zealand take a major run at me, and I beat them. That's almost unheard of. This book was, and this approach was destined to be out there, and it's going to be out there, and we're going to have lots of people that are great practitioners at the end of this, who are helping a lot of people. And it's all about people taking personal responsibility for their health and having people that can guide them along that route. Nobody can make you well unless you want to be made well. It's, at the end of the day, it's up to us. And this approach isn't just taking a pill, it's making a lifestyle change and looking at your body as being a beautiful thing that can be made to be healthy and strong if you do the right things. You just need to be given the information. And unfortunately, under the present paradigm, it doesn't give people the correct information. So hopefully we can change that.
Yes. And I will be your biggest cheerleader, Dr. Neil. In your book, I want to just share that you had a quote from Hippocrates. Before you heal someone, ask him if he's willing to give up the things that make him sick. I thought that's so good. Everyone, I hope you will all go to my program page at bbsradio.com. /connect with Kelly and scroll down to the handout section where you will find Dr. Neil's ebook on the origin of diseases. And just so you know, I mean, I know you all can feel him. He's graciously providing it for free to anyone. And it's basically his life's work, which again, he's calling his small contribution to the world, but I wouldn't call it small. And I don't think it gets any more altruistic than that. So that says a lot about the kind of person he is. And so, from my heart to yours, thank you so much for that, Dr. Neil. And thank you for being my guest today. What a delight it has been to be with you. So, thank you.
My very great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Next up in 2 weeks, Saturday, June 7th at 10 a.m. Central Time. My guests will be Conscious Cowboy and Beth from Washington, which AKA they are the Ballard Group that Q has been collaborating with for quite some time now. So we're going to talk about homesteading and how to make living free on our land great again. And they're in the final stages of the homesteading process, and they're going to share their story along with some practical tips and lessons learned to help us all navigate just the patenting homesteading process with ease and grace. So, and if you need an incentive of Conscious Cowboy's many superpowers, which there are many, the land patenting process is one of them. He's brilliant. So you won't want to miss it. Thank you, Dr. Neil. Thank you, BBS. Thank you, everyone listening. See you in 2 weeks. And Unstoppable Love is next. See you then.
Good night.